What's going on, you guys? Welcome to another episode of the Strain Forward Podcast. Today, we have a guest on. His name is James. He is a former client of mine. We just wrapped up a nice 4 months of working together on his fitness journey. And today, I thought it'd be really cool to have James just kind of tell you guys what it was like stepping into this and the challenges he faced, the growth he had through it, because he's not new to fitness in any way, shape, or form. But it was new to be consistent, if I'm not putting words in your mouth. And that was like the main goal. It's like, I just want to fight for consistency. And so I think it'd be really cool for today if James just kind of walked us through what that was like, what he learned, give some encouragement to somebody out there who maybe struggles with the same thing, anything like that. So James, why don't we start with this? Tell us just a little bit about yourself, like what you do for work, and then what really made, like, what was the catalyst for wanting to step into this journey with the Strain Forward program?
Sure. I'm James. I'm originally from Boston, but I live in Oakland, California now. I've been here about 10 years. And I work in clinical research. So I monitoring oncology trials. So that's kind of a situation where I work from home a lot, and I'm also traveling a lot. So that has been one of the challenges with maintaining any sort of fitness is just, you know, when I'm working from home, I have the time to work out, but there's something about being so sedentary and being so inside the apartment and not getting out that, like, the laziness kicks in and it's tough to get out for me anyway. And then when you're on the road, you know, you're just crazy travel. And, you know, even if there is a gym at the hotel, you know, you've been traveling all day. You got to get up early in the morning. It's always was tough for me to prioritize. So, I have a long history of trying to work out and not getting very far. I think, you know, you said I wasn't new to fitness, but only in the sense that I've tried over and over and over. Like, I've done step one 100 times, but I've never gotten past that.
Yeah.
So I think just really just starting to age a little bit, you know, I'm 43, and as someone who lives a very sedentary life, you start to feel some mobility stuff, and it's kind of like, oh, okay. If I don't do something about this, things could go south real quick. And, you know, I don't have all the time in the world either. So I think that was kind of my motivating factor in that, okay, I have to do this. And given that I've tried dozens of times and never gotten anywhere, how can I do it differently this time? And so that's when, you know, I started, you know, looking into you and looking into what your program was offering, because I knew I needed someone, A, who knew what they were doing, and someone who could guide me through a program so I wasn't trying to figure it out myself.
Yeah. No, I'm really glad you said that, man, because that takes a lot of humility. I think it's really easy to get in a place where you're like, no, I got this. Like, I'll try harder again. Like, I can do this. And then you get to the point, like you said, where you're like, okay, I've done step one a lot of times, and then I get stuck. I think I need some help. I think I need just something that's going to get me over the edge. So, and I want to go back to this. So you now traveling, because I know a lot of people who travel out there for work. What was super helpful for you with traveling? Like, what did you find that allowed you to be consistent? Whether it was just a mindset shift, the workout, because we did some different workouts here and there too. What was helpful?
So this is interesting, because for whatever reason, even though normally I'm traveling a lot, for almost the entire, I had just started a new job when I started working with you. So I was kind of not, I hadn't ramped up to do all the traveling yet. So I did travel a little bit, obviously, when we were working together. And I think, so I haven't fully implemented how to make myself do it. Like, if I've been flying all day, then I get to the hotel and I only have an hour, how am I going to encourage myself to work out? I haven't really crossed that bridge yet. It hasn't come up. But, like, in terms of just not having gym access, you know, I certainly had some traveling to see family, and learning to incorporate body weight workouts were great. I honestly found those more challenging the weight stuff. The body weights were the ones I had the hardest time with. But at the same time, you feel so good when you finish them. So honestly, better than doing the weights. You just feel like, okay, I did something there. That was, I got through this thing, and that made a difference. It's going to make a difference. I know that. Yeah. So I think just having like that, that tool case of body weight workouts that I can pull out as needed, that's super helpful.
Yeah. Just having something in your back pocket. It's like, you don't have to think about it. You just, all right, let's go. I'm doing this one right here. This one looks good.
Yeah.
So in the gym, you were relatively new, but new to pushing some of the weights, like doing all the front squatting we did, and we did back squatting, and like we were lifting weights.
Yeah.
I noticed a shift in your mindset like 2 months in. You're like, hey, I'm ready to really start pushing this. I'm ready mm-hmm. to start diving into like going a little bit heavier, whatever. What was that experience like?
I think so much of that just really comes down to comfort level in the gym. I think, all the times where I'd go in trying to come up with my, like find something on the internet, some sort of plan to do. I'd go in there with that. There's this, you're always wondering, okay, am I really doing it right? Is this right? Is this okay? And you do feel self-conscious. You look around like, oh, what are they doing? Are they looking at me? Am I doing this completely wrong? And am I embarrassing myself? You get into that mindset. And so as a result of that, I'd often just, when I would go in, I'd play it super safe. Like I'd go from one machine to the next machine to the next machine. And really that's, if that's all you're doing, I mean, machines are great, but if you're just doing that safe stuff, you're not pushing yourself the way I started to realize when I started working with you. Like I think the more dynamic stuff that you had me do, the more CrossFit style stuff, that was super out of my wheelhouse. I never would have done any of that on my own. And so it took a minute to get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So even at the beginning, I was still like, oh gosh, if I do what he's asking me to do, then I'm going to be taking up all this space at the gym, and what are these people all going to think? And you do think that way. And I think it's just a matter of forcing yourself to do it. And then you start to feel comfortable there. And then you're like, oh, nobody cares what I'm doing. They're all focusing on what they need to do. And if they did care, who cares? Because I feel comfortable here. I can take up space. So I think once that clicked for me, it was just a matter of doing it enough until I'm like, no, this is my space too. Yeah. So once I felt comfortable in that, I could see where, oh, I was taking it pretty easy on myself in both the exercises I was choosing and the level of weight I was doing or lifting. So I think it was just kind of a natural progression to start looking at how can I ramp this up a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, we're going to the gym, especially like a bigger Globo gym style-esque place. It's very intimidating. Even for someone like myself who does this like professionally, basically. Like I know a gym in and out. Like,
yeah,
I feel very confident going to a gym. It can still be very intimidating because there are a lot of people there, and you don't want to take up too much space, and you're like, it's very hard. And so I'm glad you hit on that. How long was it until you started to feel that shift? Was it about that 2 month?
Yeah, I don't think it took me 2 months to get there. In terms of, I think I felt comfortable before then.
Yeah.
But it wasn't till maybe half the 2 months in that I started to, that we talked about sort of ramping it up. For me, I was just focusing on getting through it because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do all these things you said to do. And so I was just focusing on like, okay, I committed to this. I'm going to get it done. Let me just focus on doing it. And then it was like you said, about 2 months in when you were like, oh, when I showed you some progress pics and you're like, oh no, that's a big difference. And I just didn't even see it myself. I think that was the point where I was like, oh, okay. Now, okay. I did. This is going somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you worded it like that. You were just doing it. Because so many people, and this is a conversation I have with even clients I'm onboarding now, it's there's so many people that rely on that motivation, that feeling, right? Yeah. We call it feeling of like, oh, I feel like working out. I'm feeling good to work out. And it's really eye-opening for people to hear, again, from someone like myself who does this professionally and loves working out. So often I'm like, I don't want to do this. But guess what? It has absolutely, it's not the prerequisite for doing the thing.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I guess that makes sense. Like, you can be mad. You can be angry. You can be sad. You can be all these things, not feeling good to work out, and you go do it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you worded it like that. So your goal was really to get through the 4 months not missing workouts, like not falling off the bandwagon.
I just wanted to finish the program. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so was that the biggest thing that helped you? Was that mindset of, I'm just going to do it anyway?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I did well for the first half, and then in the back half, I started to struggle a bit and I started to drop off a little, and I started to get worried that I wasn't doing what I was before. And for me, my pattern of behavior in this is that once I start to mess up a little bit, I'm like, okay, I messed up. Why forget it. I'll try again later. I'll start at some other time. And so for me, it was the start. It was more like, it's like you watch those Olympic, not that I'm comparing myself to an Olympian, but when you see these gymnasts face plant off the bar, and it's like, no, you got to get up and finish the routine. So it was kind of like that. So I even up till the end, I'm like, okay, I think just knowing me and how my mental traps that I get into, this is going to be a long game situation where it's not going to be like I do this for 4 months and then I'm good. It's like, this is, I have to learn these behaviors that is going to carry me through years to come. And yeah. So I think that was my main takeaway. It's that A, you can stick to this, you can do it. And when you're in that valley, that doesn't mean the end. That doesn't mean you failed forever. It's yeah. like, no, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And, yeah. I think looking back, that's why, you know, progress picks are so helpful. That's why I was looking back even just the other day, I was looking back at my results from our first week looking together. And I was just like, oh, that weight was so light. That was so light. And that's what I was doing. So that was super encouraging to me, actually. I hadn't thought about it the whole time, whole, you know, 16 weeks. But now I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. Dang, that's really encouraging to hear. How did you figure out ways to, you know, even now, you know, you said you live in an apartment where you have a lot of down days where it's just kind of boring, and it's easy to get sucked into that trap of just dullness, I guess. I'll just keep sitting around. What do you do? What tools do you have? Or like what helps you get out of that to be like, okay, I got to go to the gym? And it can be as simple as I just force myself to get up and go. Like, sometimes that is the answer.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's for me, it's twofold. And I'm saying this as someone who's still, it's not like I kicked this, right? It's still very much an ongoing thing. So, there are two things. I think, first of all, if it's, you know, if I have a little break in work, or I get a little downtime and it occurs to me that, oh, wait, I still need to get my workout in. I don't sit with it. I'm like, okay, it occurred to me. Let me go now before I have time to like talk myself out of it. And I have a flexible schedule that allows me to do that. So and again, I don't do that every time, but when I do that, it makes such a difference. It's before you know it, you're at the gym and it's like, oh, I'm here. Might as well do it. Yeah. And then the other thing is, you know, when you are in that kind of dragging your feet, lethargic sort of mood, you know, going to the gym, putting that, you know, 40, 60 minutes, whatever it is, in, when you leave, that turns it around. So you have a better day after. So if you really start to realize that, oh, I don't want to go to the gym because I'm in a bad mood. But if I go to the gym, I'll be in a good mood. So that does help. It does. You never feel worse after going to the gym. Even if it wasn't a great workout, even if you're like, oh, I kind of dropped the ball or I petered out, like you still feel better than before you went.
Yeah. Yeah. A bad workout is better than no workout at all. So it's so true, dude. Yeah. So, and what's interesting is I find that we were talking a little bit about this, as you said, that, you know, you find that as you've got less going on, you want to do less and less.
Yeah.
I think that's so true just with us as humans. We were talking about that, where it's like when your schedule gets jam packed, it's like you don't have the option to put it somewhere else or I'll do it later. So it like forces you to do it then, and you're almost more structured and more habitual because you're so busy. But when that still opens up and you can kind of sit around, it becomes even harder to be disciplined, even though you have more time to do the thing. It's the weirdest paradox.
Yeah. I bump up against that all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I struggle with too, is like making sure I find the right time, and it's a whole thing. So going back to, you got your job, you're traveling in the future, and like you might be doing more of that. What is your, like, what's going to be your plan of attack?
I'm just going to keep doing what I did. I mean, I'm so happy with the program we had, and that I'm just going to stick to that and just remember that I'm already a leg up from where I was before. And I think the thing I keep in mind is that I'm further along towards fitness than I've ever been. Like I can't let go of that. Yeah. I can't let go of it. It's not an option. So I don't want to lose any progress. It took me a long time to get to where I am now. Not that, I mean, I'm nowhere near where I want to be, but even that, I was just so sedentary and so not an active person. Just to even build a baseline to work with there. It's like precious to me now, and I just don't want to let go of it. It's too valuable.
Dude, that's huge. That's awesome. How did you find it balancing with your social life? Like being a lot more disciplined and regimented. Did it butt up against the social life?
So not with working out, not with finding time for it. I maybe, you know, food, you know, drinking, those things bump up against socialization. I think I still haven't quite nailed the diet portion. Not that I eat poorly. I don't by any means, but that's something that's been tough for me to be disciplined about. So again, in the interest of doing what I did before, but just doing it better, maybe turn an eye towards that more. Cause I know it'll only, you know, exponentially help progress as if I'm really being disciplined with the food the way I was about the gym.
Yeah. And it's almost like little stepping stones. You know, like just grabbing the low hanging fruit. Like let's just get you in the gym regularly. Like let's just do that first.
That's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
I didn't want to bite off more than I could chew.
Yeah, and it can be really overwhelming. It can be very overwhelming when you're thinking about navigating all of the different pieces, and you're just like, man, this is a lot. It's like go from A to like A and a half. Like let's just get you working out a little more, and then we'll tile in the nutrition and all the things, and that was where it really just becomes the lifestyle where, you know, now you want to make these different choices, and where working out consistently is so habitual to you. You know, when you go out to eat with friends, you're like, you know what, I'm going to choose chicken instead of X, Y, and Z, and it won't feel like it's a really stressful decision. It's just like, oh, I'll do that this time. I'll get a salad or whatever it is. You know.
Yeah.
So going back to nutrition, what was the hardest part about nutrition for you? You know, diving into that a little further, was it just tracking macros, calories?
Yeah, it's the tracking, absolutely. Because like I said, I eat pretty healthy. I cook most of my food. I tons of plants, a lot of veggies. I tend to stick to lean proteins. It's just in terms of tracking the macros, that was hard for me. And then to the point, the reason why nutrition does become a struggle, because I'm eating healthy, but I'm eating a lot of it. So I think getting the macros what they need to be would only benefit me, instead of like piling up on maybe the carbier side of things, the fattier side of things. So I was just like, no, I'm hungry. I don't want to pull out this app and figure out what's what. I'm just going to eat something. And so that's kind of what I would fall into, impatience. Yeah.
No, I get that, dude. So why don't you tell people, like, what was your favorite thing during the 4-month process? What was like your favorite thing about the 4 month? And it can be really simple. I'm just curious what you would say you enjoyed the absolute most.
I think the points of value that I'm walking away with, I think, are A, confidence, just the ability to know that I can do this, I can achieve results. B, I can do these workouts that I thought I never could. And I can just apply that to whatever else I try in the future. I also really appreciated someone telling me, do this. It's good for you. That just, like I said, the things you had me do, I never in a million years have done. The one thing I even think about a lot are windmills, right? Like you said, oh, these are so good for you, you should be doing these. I tried it. I knew my form wasn't right. I didn't feel comfortable. I was just kind of like, oh, you know what? This isn't for me. I tried it. That's enough. And you're like, no, you should really try it again. These are so good for you. And so I just kept at it, doing it with no weights until I was sure I was doing it right. The way I was doing it first was totally wrong. So I just did it with no weights until I'm like, okay, I finally got it right. It's hard to like have the spatial awareness to know what your body is doing sometimes. You know, yeah. You can't really look in the mirror when you're doing that exercise.
Yeah, it's very tough.
It took me a minute, but like once I finally got it, I was like, I'd finish and be like, oh, I've never worked this muscle in my life. So that was really cool to walk away from. So, and that was really, I felt that way about most of the exercises you had me do. They're just stuff that I never, ever would have tried on my own. And now they're part of my wheelhouse. And I feel like they're really valuable. So that side of it was really, really great too.
No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, windmills, I'm a huge fan of windmills. And I'm glad you kept fighting for that too. Because it is really hard to know what your body's doing in space. But that's also why I like giving clients this type of stuff. And I think that's why it's really starting to blow up, as people are realizing how important it is and how it does tie into your confidence, just doing life on a daily basis. Like it's kind of crazy, but it literally makes you feel more confident as a person. You just feel more athletic and more solid and more foundational and all that stuff. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. 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 I completely agree.
So for whatever reason, I want to ask you about front squatting. What was your experience like with the front squats?
I still haven't nailed it. I had a tough time. I get, for whatever reason, I cannot figure that out. Like say, similar to the windmills, like I feel like my body is not doing what it's supposed to be doing to get this exercise right. So when I go, I just do the bar, try to get it with just the bar. I haven't really nailed it there. You know, I'll admit there are times where, you know, I'll see front squat on there and I'll say, okay, I'll just do a back squat instead. I don't know. I haven't nailed it yet.
No. And see, that's the thing. It's totally okay. Cause number one, you're still squatting. And so squatting is good. Front squatting is one of those, and that's why I wanted to ask you, because it's a movement that a lot of people really struggle with, but it's also a movement that is, like, don't quit on it, right? Like, so for the people out there listening and they're like, okay, I'm not trying front squatting, it sounds way too hard, try it. don't quit on it. Stay with it because it makes a huge difference in your physique, your legs. Like it's incredible. And so encouragement for you, don't quit on it. Keep going. Yeah. Put some weight on the bar too. And it will make you'll get there real quick.
I'll keep at it. I won't give up. That's kind of like the mantra. Don't give up.
That's it, man. That's it. That's exactly what it is. Don't give up. Okay. So let's do this. Let's, to someone out there who's on the fence about fitness or getting into fitness, they know they need to get into fitness or they need to change their health. Like they were in a place where you were 4 months ago. If you could talk to them, like, what would you want to tell them?
I think just, you know, invest in yourself. It's worth it. It's doable for anybody, I think. If I can do it, anyone can do it. Provided you do it the right way. I don't think anybody who's interested in fitness and hasn't been able to make it happen hasn't tried. Like, everybody tries. It's just whatever you did, for whatever reason, it wasn't working. And I did feel confident that I could do it if I just found the right thing. And you're the first trainer I've ever worked with. So I'm like, okay, that seems like a pretty obvious option. Like, find someone who knows what they're doing. I liked what you were doing on Instagram. So I'm like, okay, I feel like this guy could be helpful. And it having you to provide those workouts, that was major, and just keep me consistent. I think once you have that mechanism in place, you'll be able to push yourself further than you thought you could. And then once you do that, I mean, just the confidence kicks in and the sense of certainty that you can actually do this. You can actually get it done. It's easy when, you know, you've tried for many, many years to get fit, that when you go back at it for another attempt, there is, on some level deep down, you're like, oh, this is not really going to work out either. Mm. And it's that's hard to shake unless you do something different.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, man. Nothing changes if nothing changes. I mean, it's, and we're all in the same boat, just in different arenas of life, you know? And this is something I tell clients that I'm onboarding now. It's like, I had to go through the same thing that I'm asking you to go through, just with like business, you know, because my thing has always been fitness. Like that just, yeah, that's just been my whole life. But stepping into this business world and the social media world, it was like, this
new is, wheelhouse. Yeah.
This is not my specialty. Yeah. And so I had to invest in a program and it was really scary. And I'm like, is this going to work? And all the things. And whenever you take a leap of faith like that, number one, it holds you accountable. But number two, it ends up being, even if it's not the magic bullet, it's a step further than where you were, which gets you closer to the thing of where you want to be ultimately. And
yeah.
So it's so helpful, man. So helpful. So I'm really glad you said that. Well, dude, I want you to enjoy the rest of your night. It's a Sunday afternoon. I know you got a lot going on in errands. And I really appreciate you taking the time to encourage people out there and share a bit about your story and your 4 month experience and all this stuff, dude. And just know I'm still here for you. Like, even though the 4 month program's done, you're still part of the community. So if you ever have questions, you got my number too. Like, reach out. Like, we're still very much in this together, dude. So
if you
just hit me up and I'm happy to encourage you, bro, because we need that. Like,
yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for having me here. Everything was a pleasure. So thank you very much.
Heck yeah, dude. All right, you guys. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. This was another episode of Strength Forward Podcast. And as always, keep moving forward.